This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. Later on, we'll be joined by Eastside Catholic and Northwest Greyhound standout guard Malia Samuels, so stick around for that. And we got the trio back together. The pride of Tacoma, the prodigal son, some have said. Not me, just some people. I hear it. Todd Millis, senior reporter at SB Live here, and then also joining us, he is the host of the ISO podcast with SB Live and the Believe Podcast Network, coming to you 2 days a week. He's Dan Dickow. Gents, how are we doing?
We are doing well. Summer basketball is in full swing, and I know that's the direction you're taking us, talking about some standouts early in the eval periods for both the boys and girls side. So look forward to getting right into it.
Just once, if we only do another 100 episodes, I want you to introduce him as the prodigal son of Vancouver. That's all. That's the only thing I'll ever request again.
Is it Vancouver, Dan? Were you technically Brush Prairie, or were you on the Vancouver line?
No, I was a Vancouver, Washington address in the Battleground School District for Prairie High School.
Right on. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind when we hit episode 200. Maybe we work it in down the road. So, but I appreciate you guys being here. It's great to be with you both. We are now on the heels of what was a breakneck pace three-season high school sports calendar in 2021. That's in the past. Now we're on to a busy summer of course, getting ready for this fall football season, but also keeping tabs on the reopening of AAU basketball, much of the club scene. You got the circuits are all up and running. Dan, you are coaching this summer, and you know there's a lot going on, and so we're here to sift through today. 10 prospects from the state of Washington, 10 high school players who could stand to gain from really strong summers and are people to look out for this summer. We're going to do 5 on the boys' side and then 5 on the girls' side. As we record this, like Peach Jam is in its second day. The UAA Under Armour circuit is getting ready for its second session. Dan, you're coming down with your team to Beaverton this weekend, and there's just a ton going on. But before we get going, Dan, I'm wondering, especially after this past year and a half, especially in Washington, one of the last states to come back with high school sports, a lot of these prospects just didn't get the chance to showcase themselves and their craft over the past year. And so while we look at this July, it's obviously important to everybody. Do you see a special importance to those prospects in the Northwest that maybe struggled to kind of get those opportunities and had to, you know, go out of state over the last year to find them?
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily, you know, limited to just kids in Washington and the Northwest. I mean, it's important for all kids who have aspirations to play at that next level to be in tournaments during these eval periods. You know, if you're 17U, if you're 16U, you probably need to be on a team that's playing all three eval periods. 15U, I think you just need to at least be at one of them. My group's going to be at 2 eval period events. I think for that grade or for that age, for the most part, and obviously you're going to have outliers here or there that might play up a year, but you're at that point, you're really not even being truly evaluated. There might be a name that is taken down as a note, but really it's for you to play in those events is to get comfortable. So when you have future opportunities playing in front of college coaches, it's not a new environment for you.
Absolutely. There's a lot of that going on, and a ton of games being played. Just in conversations with AAU coaches in Washington here, it's as much about those getting those opportunities as it is, hey, giving your body a rest here and there when you can, and being smart so as to not get overuse injuries and such like that. But great to see these opportunities here when they weren't for so long. So 10 names. We're going to go one boy, one girl. We're going to go kind of back and forth. Todd, you're our girls basketball correspondent here for SB Live in Washington. Let's start with you, Todd. Who is the first girl, and might not be in any particular order, but first girl to watch this summer from the state of Washington?
Yeah, Annie, I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to kind of couple them based on circumstances. And the two girls that I wanted to bring up first are class of 2022. So they're going to be seniors. They both happen to be point guards. They both happen to be coming off injuries throughout their high school career. The first one is Jasmine Stone. She's a point guard at Annie Wright. She played alongside Juliana Walker, who's headed to Syracuse for a year, injured her knee, did not play her sophomore year. Obviously, junior year, she opted out, did not play with the high school team, but is now on the Blazers top team and is their star point guard and has really opened up some eyes. I think she's kind of establishing herself as a lower level Division I type player. Again, she's facing some circumstances. She plays at a small school, a 1A school during the high school season, and she's coming off the injury. But I think a big summer will really catapult her in the conversation as one of the better recruits to come out of this class, even though she's sort of a late bloomer recruiting-wise. And then the other one is somebody that, Andy, you know down in Vancouver. We've had her on podcasts. We've done some stories on her. Same circumstances. She's kind of had the injury bug. Anaya Hampton at Hudson's Bay. Probably knew that she needed some exposure. She's now with the Tree of Hope top team coming off, but she's coming off the bench behind Katie Fiso, the really talented point guard at Garfield. Again, getting the exposure she needs, maybe not getting the playing time, and maybe not even the best style. As people know, that the front of that Tree of Hope team is very controlled. Anaya likes to play with freedom. She's best when she's out running. So it was kind of an odd fit, but I think the reason she decided to go that route was, you know, there are very few teams that get the kind of exposure as Tree of Hope. So again, Anaya, Jasmine Stone, kind of in the same situation, same grade, same position. Both hopefully will get some exposure out of this summer, and we can kind of move forward their recruiting.
Man, Todd, you're breaking the rules already. It's the first pick. You couldn't wait till like pick two or three.
No, I couldn't.
I love those, though. I think, you know, obviously the future of Annie Wright there. And then Anaya Hampton, I've covered her since her freshman year. She's a baller. And I'm glad she's getting the opportunity to play with that Nike team and to be able to do that. So great first two picks from Todd. We'll hop over to the boys' side. Dan, we have to start here. We wrote about him during the high school year. He grew like 4 inches, put on 25 plus pounds when nobody was really watching. I should say almost nobody, because he was in your SB Live Washington recruiting rankings during the shutdown. So that's unbelievable foresight from you. And that's Kamiakins, 6'9" forward, Tyler Bilodeau. Dan, he's playing with Washington Supreme. He's blown up. He's had some offers from St. Louis, Boise State, Montana, UC Davis. And you know, he's really filling the mantle for that Supreme team, filling in for a couple of departed big men from the last couple of years in Jackson Grant and Tyson Degenhart. Dan, what impresses you about Bilodeau?
I think he keeps improving. Obviously, you touched on it, Andy, in your kind of intros, the fact that he grew about 4 inches. While essentially the basketball world came to a stall with COVID. So he grew, he got stronger, sounds like he got more athletic, and he's continued to develop his skill set, both around the basket as well as being able to step out a little bit and make the correct play. But yeah, you've got some great schools that are strongly interested in offering now. Coach Jack Aletti is a friend of mine at St. Louis. I was really excited to see that he believes in that young man. And you know, there's a number of other schools that are going to be recruiting him pretty hard in the upcoming future. Cause you talked to Carl loves the kid.
That's Carl Howell, the 17U coach of Supreme. And you're right. Yeah, he said he's great to coach, you know, and now they're at the point where in the UAA circuit, people know who he is. And so teams are lining up to stop him. So he's starting to see, having to flash some of his the different facets of his game, of which there are several. So keep an eye out for him if you haven't already. But so we've got one down on each side. Todd, girl number two, who's it going to be?
Well, girl number three, since I coupled the first two. Okay. Libby Stump.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I'm going to stick with the small school theme. Lyndon Christian's Libby Stump maybe played a little bit in the shadow of some marquee players the last couple of years. Emily Melama has gone out to Wyoming at the point guard. Libby, the thing that stands out with her is her work rate, great mid-range game. She always just seems to know where the ball is. Her work rate is a lot like a Mia Hughes or a Molly Moffitt. Has worked a lot with former NBA point guard Luke Ridenour and Rob up there over the last year or so in her development. And she's also on the top tree of Hope team, and has really kind of emerged, arguably, as their best two way player. And since her really stellar month of late June, early July, she's already got up to 6 scholarship offers. I think she got her first one from Sacramento State the last weekend of the high school season, and is sort of really kind of starting to blow up a little bit. She can play the two. She can play the three. She's got a lot of versatility to her game. Again, like I said, this last 4 or 5 weeks with Tree of Hope, getting a lot of exposure. A player to really look forward to. Also going to be a senior in that 2022 class. Libby Stump from Lyndon Christian. Name to look out for.
Those Lyndon Christian programs keep producing. I like that pick, Todd. Our second pick on the boys' side is a name that you should, if you pay attention to high school sports in Washington, you should know. That's Jalen Stewart of Garfield. He's a 2023. He's a big 6'5 guard. Has already holds offers from Arizona. I guess that was the old staff, but Washington, Montana, Portland State, and was an integral part of Garfield's state championship run the last time those were held in Washington. Made an immediate impact and did not look like a freshman and still doesn't look like a sophomore. And so he's leading that 16U Garfield team at the Peach Jam right now. Already garnered a ton of attention. He's already a top 3 player in the Metro League. What stands out to you, and what's your breakdown of Jalen Stewart's game, Dan?
So the target has been on him ever since, you know, he was a freshman at Garfield. And so sometimes that makes it hard to be able to perform at a high level when you're focused in on by your opponent. But it seems like he's up to the challenge. He continues to work on his skill level. He is a really good athlete, and he's starting to round out a few other parts of his game that are making you think that, yes, he is going to be a very, very high level recruit. He's had a number of offers already come in. And if he keeps up the play that he's been doing so far in July, he's going to have a lot of really good schools to choose from.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, he's absolutely opened eyes here on the West Coast. But I think, you know, the great part about playing at these events like the Peach Jam, which, you know, obviously didn't happen last year, is that he has the potential to open a ton of eyes nationally and be moved into that top 75, top 50 conversation nationally in his class of 2023. So Jalen Stewart of Garfield, certainly somebody, a name you might already know, but a name that is going to continue to be said in the years to come, especially, you know, here at the high school stage, at Garfield, given that he stays. So Todd, I guess we're jumping. Does this mean number four, girl number four? All right, who's it going to be?
Yeah, we're going to stay in the Metro League, and it's pretty rare for a 6'1" wing to sort of be in the shadow of a teammate, but she kind of is, and I'm talking about Zsa Zsa Walton. Her teammate is point guard Malia Samuels. We'll have a little bit more from her later in the podcast. But Zsa Zsa is in a good position in that class of 2022. She plays for the top Greyhounds team, on the Adidas circuit. Was an all-state caliber, kind of a 3-4 for Eastside Catholic the last time we saw her in 2020. Again, she opted out of the high school season this spring. She has some D1 offers, but I think her dream is to play at Oklahoma. She's trying to raise that stock. You know, it's weird. She's such a versatile type player, athlete with the skill set. She's playing kind of the off guard for the Greyhounds. So she's kind of in the same backcourt right now with her teammate at Eastside Catholic and Leah Samuels. But she can play any of those three spots. And again, she's not in a position where she needs a lot of help or a lot of boost to her recruiting stock. She just kind of needs that final push to maybe go to her dream school or her dream conference to be a Power Five type recruit. So Zsa Zsa Walton, watch out for her on that that top Greyhounds team.
Keeping that goal high, keeping that motivation high as well. I like that pick, Todd. We'll move back onto the boys' side. This is a guy who, if you paid attention to high school hoops in the state of Washington over the last 2 years, you probably know this name. He's at the 2A level. And now he is the breakout player for 17U Seattle Rotary, which is now playing at the Peach Jam. That's Jonas Latour at North Kitsap. I'm not sure of his offer situation. I would imagine it'll certainly change over the next couple weeks here. But he's playing with Rotary up on that team for the first time at Peach Jam the first day against a team that has a familiar name in Bronny James, and he's the standout player. He has 25 points and 24 points and 5 boards, I should say. Coming off of an awesome junior season at North Kitsap, where he averaged 26.7 points per game, 12.6 rebounds, 2.5 steals, shot over 50% from the field. He was a massive piece of that state title team in 2019, and he continues to grow his game. Dan, of what you've seen and heard about Jonas Latour, what stands out and where might his ceiling be?
Well, ceiling, that's still being determined, but he's gotten off to a heck of a start here in the month of July, and in particular back at Peach Jam, as you mentioned. You know, I had a chance to watch some bits and pieces of Rotary 17U this past weekend down in Irvine. And, you know, Latour checks a lot of boxes. He's got good length. He's a good athlete that I think will become even more athletic with added strength. I think he's got a good feel for the game, and he's got a nice skill set. So I think when you have a high IQ and a good skill set, sometimes you can many times get overlooked in an athletic setting where the game is up and down and maybe there's a lot of trapping and different things. But he's handled it really well. And I think he's definitely, and I think he's definitely, as you mentioned, going to be that kind of surprise guy that's going to pick up an offer or two. That's going to be, you know, very impressive.
A building block too for Coach Scott Orness at North Kitsap. So our third selection, again, Jonas Latour of North Kitsap. Todd, does this mean at number five, you're rounding this list out already?
Yeah, you know, I let you guys talk for the last 5 minutes. So no, my last player is actually from the 2023 class. And when you talk Ellensburg girls basketball, I think the name that comes up on a national scale is Olivia Anderson, the 6'5 wing. She's in the same class as the point guard, and I'm actually going to highlight the point guard. Her name's Riley Leishman. She plays on the number 2 team with the Northwest Blazers, and I think with her solid play, she checks a lot of the boxes as a facilitator, as a floor general. Her scoring, she can shoot it. She's not the type of scoring point guard that maybe a Hope Hassaman at Tahoma, or maybe even a Malia Samuels. I think that part of her game will come, the well-roundedness of a score. She can definitely shoot it, but I think, you know, she might have come into the summer with a different ceiling and is maybe sort of a D2 type player, and that's maybe where she'll end up. But I think right now, with her solid play so far in the summer for that number 2 Blazers team, that some D1 coaches have kind of opened their eyes to her. She's a real hard-nosed, gritty, high-effort type player at Ellensburg. Ellensburg, as we know, is produced is producing some really good college prospects. Here, Dylan Phillip, she'll be coming into her senior year. She'll be playing somewhere next year. So this is the young lady that looks to take the big step forward this summer. Who knows? At the end of this thing, you know, we might be talking about her as the best player on that Ellensburg team here in 2 years.
You talk about Ellensburg. I was going to bring up a guy who probably would be in this list, but has been injured and has missed his high school season and is going to miss the summer. And that's Gavin Mars, who's now grown to like a legit just about 6'11". Offers from Cal Poly, UP, and grown a ton in the pandemic. Still probably getting used to his body, but a name for the future, certainly. But you are right when you say that Ellensburg produces products, not just on the girls' side, though, on the guys' side, too. So moving on to our fourth and our fifth picks, Dan, in the 10 players to watch, Washington High School products in the AAU scene this summer. This is a young player from the Metro League. He started as a freshman at Eastside Catholic, and he's a 2024, but he's playing up with the 16U Rotary team at Peach Jam. And when you see a guy who's 6'9", who is kind of cementing themselves as a formidable big at that age, it's natural that you're going to receive some attention. And that's Jacob Kofi. He, again, was a freshman this past year. Washington, Wazoo, Montana, UNLV, Colorado have already offered. At this age, Dan, when you're when you are going into your sophomore year at this summer, what does he have to gain this summer? Just getting accustomed to this this level of play.
Well, first off, the fact that he's playing up a year and he's still turning heads is impressive. You know. Obviously, with 6'9", good size at that age, the upside that he has, it's making him a very interesting player for colleges to you know, take a closer look at. And obviously, in the amount of times that he's had a chance to play in front of coaches, he's been impressive. You know, there's been a number of coaches on the west side that have told me, hey, this kid's got a chance to be really good. And it's evident with the schools you mentioned that have offered. And so it's a challenge to play up a year, that's for sure, in the AAU world, especially when, you know, it's at that EYBL level. So good for him. It's going to be interesting to follow his progress the rest of the summer.
So this last name to round out the boys' side of our conversation today is one that you might not know. We've talked about big growth spurts when we talked about Tyler Bilodeau, just mentioned Gavin Mars, and guys who have just started to physically develop when you know, a lot of the basketball world was shut down or shuttered in a lot of ways. And chief among those guys, playing for Friends of Hoop, a 6'6 shooting guard, small forward out of Hazen High School. It's a guy named Jackson Knapp. He's a class of 2022, so he's entering his senior year. He's grown to 6'6, about 4 inches this past year. And he's gone from, you know, he's been in that FOH program since he was in fourth grade and really developed bigger, stronger, more athletic. He's blowing by guys now. He can create his own shot. He can, you know, translates as a guard, a wing at the next level, and somebody who has really kind of played himself into, you know, maybe the most consistent player on that team, a good FOH team. He's leading them in scoring at about 13 points a game, although it's pretty evenly distributed. I get the sense that, and especially talking to FOH coach Donald Brady, that once he plays more and gets the opportunities to, you know, play in front of these college staffs a little bit more, he'd start to gonna receive more attention. He had Montana's whole staff at a game last year, a little bit of D2, D1 interest, but zero offers before last weekend. So I think at the end of this summer, Jackson Knapp is going to be a name that people might know a little bit more familiar, with a little bit more familiarity. What stands out to you about Jackson, Dan?
Yeah, that Friends of the Hoop team was down in Irvine when I was down there last weekend, and I saw a few minutes of their game in passing. I did not get a chance to see any stretches where he made some of these impressive plays. But, you know, I did see a lot of the clips, obviously, that get circulated now on social media and whatnot. And you kind of hit it on the head. He's a player who's got good size. He's a good athlete, getting to be a better athlete. He competes and he shot the ball really well. So, you know, the Friends of Hoop is one of the most well-respected AAU programs on the West Coast over the last however many years that isn't aligned with a shoe company. And if you're going to play for Friends of the Hoop, you're going to play the right way. You're going to play, you know, the right, you're going to be put in a position to have some success. And it sounds like he's making the most of it.
Absolutely. And these are 10 names that we just named, guys. And you know, we cover a whole state. There are tons of players who are going to make big leaps this summer and are really relishing the opportunity to play at a high level, play against teams from out of state, play against good competition. Before we get out of here, are there any names that that were not among these five that you feel deserve a mention before we wrap up?
You know, the one player on the 17U Seattle Rotary that caught my eye was Braden Smith. I know we've covered him in depth this year for Seattle Prep, but he just played with a calm and a poise and a sense of leadership that it was impressive to me. You know, I also saw Bryson Metz, who's playing with Eastern Washington Elite 17U group. They had a bit of a struggles in the win-loss column, but I really liked his game when I watched him in person. And then the 16U Eastern Washington Elite team, they went down there and won their division. He led by a couple guys that are from Coeur d'Alene, not necessarily state of Washington, but they had a nice run down in Irvine too.
On Supreme, there's a super guard-heavy team that Carl Howell has at 17U. Tyce Paulson, Ajon Anderson at Mount Tahoma, Tyce Paulson of Curtis, I should say, and then Khalil Singleton, who was at Fort Vancouver and is transferring out east to Loomis Chafee, a prep school. All three of those guys are going to give them buckets on any given night. Khalil is separating himself as an elite shooter. Ajon can really fill it up. He can get you, you know, more than 20 on a given night. And Tyce Paulson has a really bright future in this state. At Curtis, everybody, you know, knew his brother Zach, and it's just, you know, a matter for him of getting accustomed to the level of competition. But he can do a little bit of everything. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Eastside Catholic guard Malia Samuels joins. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Bueller here. Todd Millis is with me. And joining us, special guest, we're really excited to welcome on Eastside Catholic standout, Malia Samuels. Malia, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've had, you know, not only this crazy pandemic year that is now done, the school year that is, and now you jump into the club season. Hey, this summer, and July is typically a really, really busy time of year and a crucial time of year for people in your situation, from a recruitment standpoint, from a development standpoint. I'm wondering what has this summer been like so far, navigating playing with the Northwest Greyhounds?
It's been a crazy summer. It's super hectic. We have college coaches finally able to be in the gyms again. So that's really fun compared to last year where they were just watching the live stream. So it's been really crazy, but it's been fun.
At the, after the, you know, going through all the shutdown and last year, you guys, you know, can't even have this opportunity to play. What does it feel like to be in that situation on the court, battling with your teammates and knowing that, you know, what you're doing, you know, it's not in the dark anymore. These college coaches are actually able to see you play.
It's just exciting. It's exciting to see how many college coaches are really there. I mean, we can't talk to them like face to face, but it's super exciting.
I got to ask you about your nickname. And it's being marketed now. You can't see a tweet anymore that doesn't say Pitbull Samuels. Where did that come from? How has that stuck with you? Do you like that nickname? I know your dad seems to like that nickname, but where was that born from and how much do you like it?
It was actually, I got it in eighth grade, so it's fairly new. My AAU coach gave it to me because I played 17U as an eighth grader and I was going against this girl that was a junior about to be a senior and I just wouldn't back down. She was like talking and I wasn't talking back to her, but I was just like playing good defense and then scoring on her. So it was kind of just like having a dog mentality. And then he kind of just called me Pitbull and then it kind of stuck. I got a mixtape and the caption was the Pitbull, Malia the Pitbull Samuels. And then it kind of just stuck. And I really like it. I think it's very fitting.
I don't think a lot of people know that the Greyhounds, it used to be a football club, I think, right? Correct? Or
it used to be Evolution. Well, it was two things that merged. So Evolution was, it used to be a boys football team, and then it was a boys basketball team, which was for my brother, my older brother. And then Girls Evolution came around in like seventh grade, and then we kind of stuck together eighth grade. And then once we got to eighth grade, we merged with my AAU coach, Coach Buck, and he was the Excel Greyhounds at the time. So we just merged to Northwest Greyhounds.
Well, you have a football background. I don't know if a lot of people know that. What do you remember about your days being, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, just, you know, putting on the football pads and you weren't playing against girls, you were playing against everybody. What were those days like? What did those days teach you? You know, life lessons, athletic lessons moving forward that have helped you now?
Life lessons wise, it just taught me how to manage my time. I live in Berrien and I was driving every day since like first grade down to Tacoma every day, doing homework in the car, sleeping on the way back. So it just taught me how to manage my time well from a young age. And it taught me like how to be tough. Like, people don't care that I'm a girl on the field. Like, once you put pads on, like, you're just another player. So it just taught me how to be tough.
Malia, you go from during the shutdown before high school sports came back in Washington, you're playing down with Kings or BFL prep in the grind session. You mm-hmm. come back, you play for Eastside Catholic for Coach Katie Farr and a good program. And then now you're back on the club scene. How do you kind of compare and contrast the high school game versus the club game in your experience?
In my experience, I think that while high school is competitive, AAU was like a whole nother level. Everybody playing AAU is trying to get to college. Everybody is fighting for that one scholarship at their dream school. So I just think it's another level of competitiveness.
We haven't seen you in a high school uniform since the end of the 2020 state tournament in Tacoma. Mm-hmm. It was a breakout year for you. You were the Metro League most valuable player as a ninth grader. You guys, your team came very, very close to winning the state championship. How did you balance the success of that first year with Eastside Catholic with the disappointment of not winning a state championship, which I know was your goal?
I mean, just talking to my teammates, we all kind of felt the same thing. It was really rough, but in the back of my head, I've kind of matured now and I've realized, like, even though we were good, we didn't deserve to win that championship. Like, we were still young, and I didn't realize like experience matters until now. Like Garfield, that one that year, they had a lot of experience at the state tournament, and we had no experience at all. So I think that kind of played into it.
How much did you pay attention to what was going on in the Metro League, Seattle Prep going undefeated? Tamia had a really good senior season in the high school ranks. How much did you pay attention to what was going on in the Metro League while you were kind of doing your thing in club?
I mean, I took notice. She had a really great year. It's tough to watch from the sidelines, but it was good to see her break out this past year.
I'm going to ask you a little bit about your summer and some of the tournaments you've played, but we were talking kind of before we started recording about, you're kind of the veteran point guard now of this top team with the Greyhounds. And then you look in the front court, and you have this 6'2" class of 2025 going to be an eighth grader playing for you, not only playing for you, starting for you. I think her name is Olivia Edwards. Is that correct?
Yeah, Olivia Edwards.
Tell, for people that, you know, don't watch AAU, and obviously she hasn't even hit high school yet, what's that been like having someone that young but that talented play up and try and blend in with a lot of your teammates and a lot of girls that you play with in high school?
I love Olivia. I mean, she's kind of like the comedic relief of the team. She's so young, and when she talks, you can tell how young she is. But like when she gets on the court, she plays like she's older than what she is. I love playing with her. She still has a long way to go, but I feel like if she sticks with the path that she's on, she's going to be in the WNBA.
Do you have an Olivia Edwards moment so far that you just went sort of wow, kind of a wow moment in some of the tournaments and some of the events that you played with her?
The biggest wow moment for me is when she dunked in the game. That there's like nothing that can top that. We were in our defense. She got the steal, came down the court, came down the middle, and just dunked it. I was like, you can see me in the video. I probably jumped as high as her. Like, I was so happy for her.
I want to ask you a lot. There's a lot of really good point guards 2023, 2024 right now around the state. You know, Katie Fiso, yourself, Hope Hassman, just to name a few, Riley Leishman at Ellensburg. What's that like knowing that whatever tournament you go to in your age group or your recruiting class, you're going to find somebody really good who can handle the ball, someone really good who can facilitate, be a floor general? I mean, it just seems like right now that particular position is very deep around the state.
We're all kind of friends, but it's like a friendly competition when we play. All of us are going to go head to head no matter what, but after we get off the court, we're all friends. So I think that's kind of important. But I think it's good that there's a lot of good point guards around here, because it's going to look good when we all go to college and Washington's well represented.
Any part of you that's, wants to get back to the Metro League, wants to, you know, Garfield, a lot like Eastside Catholic, had a lot of players that opted out from the high school season this spring, but it sounds like most of you are planning on coming back and being, you know, playing a full Metro League season. Is there a big part of you that is looking forward to getting back and playing in the Metro League and seeing these players in a kind of a different arena, and try and go win another state championship, or as in your case, your first state championship?
Yeah, I'm excited. It should be exciting. It's always exciting to represent your school, and always exciting to get back to how it was my freshman year.
Malia, before we let you go, you have your summer's not over. In fact, some might say it's kind of just getting going with, you know, you got some competing on the Adidas circuit and have some big tournaments here coming up. But what in the remainder of your summer with the Greyhounds are you hoping to show college coaches?
I'm trying to show college coaches my complete game. I feel like I can defend, I can facilitate, I can shoot from all three levels. So I'm just trying to show that I have a complete game.
Is the rumor true that you're 5'7" now, not 5'3" anymore?
Yes, it's true. I measured myself the other day. 5'6" and a half, 5'7"
We can round up. We can round
up. Yes, we can round up to 5'7".
As somebody who's like never been 6 foot, I've been rounding up my whole life. So anyway, she's Malia Samuels. She's a pit bull. She's got a growth spurt under her feet now, and she's got a big summer still remaining with the Greyhound. So Malia, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.